This is Microphone Check, hip-hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly.
What up? I'm Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
Yeah, man. Tip, man. T.I.P.
What up, Tip?
Thank you for coming.
What's happening?
What's good? Yo, I'm conflicted, you know.
Why?
Speaking to another Tip.
What you mean?
Well, tell that story. Is it true that you changed your name because Q-Tip was a...
Sure, yeah. We were both on Ariston when it was time to release my first album. I mean, the people who had to market, promote, and just, you know, just spread the word on it, communicated that it was, you know, somewhat difficult or confusing or, you know what I mean, to have two tips in one building. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying, out of respect and just, you know, the legendary reputation and career that preceded, you know, that situation, I definitely conceded my problem or conflict at the time was, now this is what I've been called all my life. What do I change my name to?
Right.
So I guess that began to hold my project up. What are we going to call him? You know what I'm saying? So at that point, we had to come to some sort of a resolution. And KP, who signed me to LaFay, he just said, okay, look, man, how about T.I.? Because on this one record I had, it was like T.I.P. I was like, wait a minute, what? No, that was, you left out a letter still. You know what I'm saying? He was like, well, listen, man, you got something better?
He's solution oriented.
No, I don't have anything better. Well, that's what we're going with, man. So that's kind of how it came about.
Yeah, no, I've been spending the past 25 years called, not wholly, because wait, when we started Tribe, Q-Tip had a different name. Okay. So that's not entirely true. But at some point when he went from that, I'm not going to say his other MC name because we can't do that. And he doesn't like that to be publicly known. But when he became Q-Tip, it's been Tip forever, since high school till now. So it's like, to talk to another Tip.
Bruh. But, you know what? And listen, man, I'm going to tell y'all something, man, and I'm going to say it with pride and shame all at the same time. I just connected the dots.
Okay.
I'm just now realizing that, hey, man, I'm talking about you. You did a very, very good covert attack on that one. I didn't recognize that this was...
Funny.
Damn, okay.
I don't really flaunt it.
I got it.
It's not about me, really.
But that's on me, though. I should have known.
This is about you, though. So it's just the first words off the lip was like, Tip.
Respect, man.
I'm just realizing for the very first time I'm actually calling someone else Tip. So we don't have to, like, belabor that. But we're really happy that you're here, man.
Man, it's my pleasure, man. And, you know, hats off to you, man. Salute, man. You know what I'm saying?
Salute you, soldier.
You really paid the way for a player.
Hey, well, thank you.
Because you came up to New York a lot when you were young?
Yeah, man. I came up here. I spent my summers up here, man, from the time I was like 6 to 14, 15.
Okay. What's that like? Because I spent my summers getting sent down south to Virginia, North Carolina.
Right.
So it was just, you know, different.
I'm sure we both
trees.
Went back with a little song.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, man, I just think coming to New York, it kind of gave me a different perspective on culture. And, you know, in Atlanta, man, it was either you was black or you was white or other. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We didn't have a lot of different cultures. We didn't have a lot of different religions. We didn't have a lot of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So to come to a melting pot as a youngster and really see kind of just the differences in what people say about, you know, how they go to school or, you know what I'm saying, how people spend their spare time, like what the culture, like how, you know, how people live their lives in other places.
Yeah.
Me knowing that, it allowed me a certain diversity that contributed to my swag a little later on. You know what I'm saying? And you know, it kind of put me ahead of people. You know what I'm saying? Because they wasn't, people didn't know about Tribe when I came back to Atlanta until, like, you know, Bonita Applebaum
right.
and T.I. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like people didn't really know about Big. I came back and told people about Big. It was the... I think the year he was on the Craig Mack remix, and he had things that were, you know, party and bullshit, and, you know, other things that you would have to be in New York to have. And I went back to Atlanta with him, like, yo, it's Cat coming. And, you know, of course, like, man, all I want to hear is Master P. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
However, you know, my epiphany coming, making this way into fruition kind of made me an elder statesman and an expert in music.
That's important, though. We need somebody to understand what's going on and for climb sure. it out there and be able to be the messenger.
But in reverse, I tell you something else. I came up here with Outkast.
When?
I came up here. Now, I didn't come with them. I brought Outkast on a CD up to New York when New Yorkers knew nothing of Outkast.
Okay.
Back when it was just Players Ball off the LaFace compilation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I came up here and shared that with my player partners that I knew from up here. And it was like, yo, man, ain't Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying? So I've experienced it on both sides.
The struggle continues.
For sure.
Because that's funny. Didn't Pharrell once call you the Jay-Z of the South?
Yeah, he put that pressure on me. He did that. But, I mean, Pharrell has always been, man, like a brother, partner, and just an extremely genuine, sincere supporter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, ever since my very, very first album, KP took me up there, and we did not. We knew we couldn't afford Pharrell. And me being the kind of guy I am, I said, hey, listen, you know, I know you probably came here because you and KP cool, but I know what I got to work with financially, and I know what you're worth. And quite frankly, bro, I can't afford you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He was like, man, we just going to work, man. We'll deal with that. Like, we'll let them deal with that. I was like, no, I kind of want to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? He just kept telling me, man, don't worry. Let's just work. So we ended up working and came up with Panty Pumper Number One and I'm Serious. So then I'm thinking to myself, which one of these are we going to keep? We can't afford both.
Right.
And Pharrell was a G about it. He was like, man, we good, man.
Just to go back for a moment, what was it about the conversation that made you really want to square it away right then and there?
No, it wasn't. I'm just that kind of guy. You know what I'm saying?
I get that, but I think it's important, you know, for people to know that.
What you like when I walked in here? I kind of said, okay, listen, everybody, what are we doing? What am I, you know, going to do here? I just did, you know, I just like to have understanding is the greatest thing in the world in my eyes, man. You know, confirmation. A lot of people leave so much up to chance, and so things leave so much room for later conflict that could have been avoided had we had confirmation up front. Handle it from the get-go, as my grandma used to say.
Very important, wise grandmother right there.
But nah, man, the point is, though, Pharrell, ever since day one, and ever since then, he has always just been an avid supporter and even if it's just a phone call to me when I'm tripping, like, hey, yo, remember where you were? Remember where you are.
Mm.
Respect that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Even like, you know, stuff like that, that, you know, it make me salute them regardless of what's going on in music. I just, you know, I know that, you know, dude is a genuine, sincere person.
Mm.
So he is executive produced this album.
Yes, he did.
And he produced 3 tracks on it.
Four.
Oh, four. One of the deluxe edition ones?
No. It's we have Paperwork, G Shit, Light 'Em Up, and Oh Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm forgetting. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So
I'm proud of myself for remembering those and being able to rattle
people
them
don't
off
usually.
Very eloquently.
So what role did he play on this album? Was there any difference in the conversations that you had on this one as opposed to previous?
Yes.
What was the difference?
Man, I think we spoke, like, we learned a whole lot about one another's approach to music and one another's application of business when approaching music. You know what I'm saying? Like, P is a very, very artistic person, and he, for the most part, trust the people that he's put in place around him to conduct the business. However, when P has a business idea, P has no problem with asserting himself in that manner. So me observing as an artist and a person who has to conduct business for himself in music, me watching the things he chooses to intercede on and the things he kind of falls back and allows the team to work. You know what I'm saying? Like, that helped me as an artist.
Like the battles he chooses
to fight. Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? And I think, you know, that comes with experience. That comes with maturity. That comes with, you know, years of understanding. But for him to share, you know what I'm saying? But for him to share that vision with me, I think it contributed to my ability to be comfortable enough to go and make a song I may not have made. You know what I mean? If it was just up to me, you know, even though I have executive produced along with the team around me, I've executive produced some hit records and some, you know what I'm saying, some in the view of many classic material, but I haven't been pushed to the point where I was challenged, where I was like, man, I don't know if I should do this. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like working with Pharrell allowed me to do that. And he was, I guess, compromising enough to really find ways as a producer to add elements of what I do in the even most out of comprehensive ideas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He even, no matter how left field he went, he still added something in there that was from what I do.
What song out of all the songs, because you guys have done a lot together, what song was the song that you felt he really, really pushed you harder than any other?
Push me harder
to go outside of, maybe, you know.
You mean that is the most out of my realm?
Yeah.
On this particular project,
and anything that you guys, just the whole body of work that you've done together.
The record we did on the No Mercy album, Get Back Up, was one. It's another one. Make Your Face Fall Off. That was also on that. The record from my lab project with CeeLo. Let me see.
What about Make Your Face Fall Off?
I would not have chosen that record as a record for me to do. I mean, I get it, but it was a lot more. It sounded a lot like the clips. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't mean it sounded like it, but it gave you that vibe of, and for me, that record, the clips, the first clips record, it was a hit record, but for me, it's not my favorite record that I've heard by them. I've heard records that, even though they weren't as big a hits, they suited my taste a little more.
Yeah. What? Skateboard P, make your face fall off.
Serve a bitch straight D,
make her face fall off.
Okay.
Niggas come through and make your face fall off. What the fuck you don't do, make your face fall off. It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, amazing, so amazing. Baby, baby, amazing, so amazing, 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 so amazing. Baby, baby, skateboard P, make your face fall off.
Serve a bitch straight D,
make your face fall off. Niggas come through and make your face fall off. Nigga, what you finna do when your face fall off? It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, amazing, so amazing. Baby, baby, amazing, so amazing, so amazing, amazing, so amazing. Baby, baby,
it's automatic, got a ball of habit. Smoking aces, what you facing when you hating? Ain't no rehabilitation for that monkey on my back. $100,000 stack. You ain't heard, used to certified bird like a Pontiac. Rewind me back, and you know where they used to find me at? In the back, sacks full of something for insomnia. Dope boy trap nigga in my pad, like, now I just serve rap nigga, plenty act right. You know where we at, right here, like, yeah. In the club on the furniture, fuck do I care? Tell the club on the here, rose Remy bottle please.
Got a collar on the
the bravado, ain't nobody out of me. I don't bend, I don't break, I go in, I don't play. Tell your friend that the game can begin. If she stay, I pass out cake like your birthday, bitch. If you kiss both of those, let that take this.
Skateboard P, make your face fall off.
Serve a bitch straight D and
make her face fall off. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But that particular record, but I will say, he's been right more times than that. Oh, and Blurred Lines. Blurred Lines was another one. You know what I'm saying? Blurred Lines was a record, man. Pharrell said, hey, look, I just need you to do this. Mm. Just do it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Kind of. Like, man, just do it for me. Just do it. And I was like, man, all right, man. Come on. Come on, man. Let's do it.
Trust and friendship, go, you know, I think that helps the situation a little bit, huh?
Yeah, I will say he's been right more times than I have. I will say that.
We spoke to Pusha. When he put out My Name Is My Name in the fall. Uh-huh. And the way he talked about working with Pharrell was he said that he just, like, got a phone call. I think he was in the middle of South by Southwest, and it was, like, all crazy. And Pharrell called him up. He was like, listen, I have an idea for a song. And it was Snitch.
Right.
And that was, like, that made Pusha get realer than he had been in the past. Is there any like, content pushing happening between you guys?
Yeah, well, not pushing. It was, I mean, he definitely challenges you. He finds out what your strengths are, and he applies that to your weaknesses. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, I mean, to me, he pushes me kind of in a sense. So he's like, yo, you are the voice of this part of the generation. You are today's Tupac. You are today's Ice Cube. You represent the person that came from absolutely nothing and made it here. Now that you here, man, do something inspiring.
Is that why you started, oh yeah, by saying P wanted something inspirational, but absolutely. I wanted to say...
I'm always on some gangster shit, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm always on some gangster shit or some cool party shit or some laid back chick shit. You know what I'm saying? Like P was like, yo, I give you an example, man. My partner, man, RIP Doe B. The day that I was in Miami with Pharrell recording Paperwork, the song Paperwork, December 27th, I was telling him about Dopey. So he would, because Dopey was one of the coldest young cats on the uprise. And I was telling him, hey, yo, he on fire. You need to hear him. You need to work with him. He was like, cool, get him down here. So immediately, like, you know, I think we went, got something to eat something. So while we eating, I called Doe. And Doe had told me, you know, he had something to do that night, but he was going to be able to fly out the next morning. So we go and we finish the record. I go back to the crib. And, you know what I'm saying, while I'm in Miami, doing what people do in Miami, I get a call and they say, man, yo, Doe just got shot. And by the next morning, Doe had died. So when it comes time to come to the studio, I'm talking to Pharrell, and he called me enthused and excited about Paperwork because we knew what it was when we made it. And, you know, he's like, yo, do you recognize what we're doing? You know what we're doing right now, man? You are crushing me. I was like, yo, you remember my homeboy Doe that I was telling you about? Yeah, you supposed to say he's coming today, right? Man, we going in. I was like, hey, listen. He dead, cuz. He said, what? What did you mean? You just talked to him. I said, yeah, he died. He went to the club. He got shot. He died. And so P said, damn. And he said, immediately, he said, yo, we have to record a song about this. We got to. We have to capture this moment with what you do and what I do. We have to. It's up to us. And he started talking to me as a statistician of sorts. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, it is our responsibility. It's sort of like the hero in Armageddon or something. You know what I'm saying? It is up to us to. And I was like, yo, for real? Okay, let's do it then. So I went in the studio and we came up with Light Us Up.
You were supposed to make it. You were supposed to make it. You were supposed to make it.
Tell me why it is nowadays we live only for the moment. Everybody going deeper to the dark, pointing no return, following the evil, running from the Lord. Hatred in the heart of a nigga, poison a nigga. Used to play a trade toy with a nigga. Now you gotta go to war with a nigga. Just because you got more than a nigga. Motherfucker kamikaze, you they rather die to see you live fly. Crowds in a barrel in ghetto America, man. We just lucky here, we make it out. See so much potential, lost in repetition. You would think eventually we would get it. They see you got it down and want it. It just hurts so much for them to see you with it. What I know about Satan, he patiently wait to rob and steal and kill our greatness in the make. What we put together, never let them take it. Goddamn, shawty, you were supposed to make it.
You were supposed to make it. You were supposed to make it. You were supposed to make it. You were supposed to make it. Light is up. Light is up. Light is up.
You know what I'm saying? So it's in ways like that that, you know what I'm saying, he kind of took what was my strength, which is, I guess, sharing parts of my life in a way that people can relate to, jam to, and really, you know, be inspired by. And he applied it to my weakness, which at the time was talking about this very vulnerable part of my mm-hmm. life right now. So he took my strength, applied it to my weakness, and, you know what I'm saying, that's what we came up with.
I listened to it today. It made me cry. I actually had to stop listening to the album after that. And
I'm sorry.
That's yo. If the music doesn't really make you feel, then what's the point, you know, like, of doing it? I mean, there's different intentions in why artists, we do what we do, but... I mean, the best, I think, is when you really can pull an emotion, a real emotion out. And I heard that song, and it reminded me of, it was just actually not only just that. It was so the way you laid it up, you know, because you put it on dough, and then how that began, how it ended, and how it introduced Light 'Em Up. It was just like a movement.
Right.
And so by the time I got to the end of it, I had to stop listening to the record, and I just walked away, and just like tears were coming out. And because similarly, when we recorded Scenario, everyone was really happy and just like, yo, that's whatever, you know, feeling really good about it. But then, you know, we were in the mode of doing remixes. So when we did the Scenario remix, there was a guy who was an MC who was around. At the time, Russell Simmons' driver, Kenny Lee, used to hang around with Tip and just come to the session, check on us. He was kind of like an older mentor brother of ours, and he had this kid named Hood, and he was like, yo, I'm telling you about Hood. So Hood came in, dropped the verse, he set off a Scenario remix, and right after that, he got outed.
Damn.
So, you know.
That's a bittersweet celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so he made it, you know, a step beyond like where your man, but just hearing that story really brought it. I'm like, what is this? We recorded that maybe 91 or something like that. I'm like, wow, still 2014. Like, this is like hearing your story. I'm like, right. This is what we're still dealing with it. And it really was upsetting. So to hear, you know, you saying, oh, yeah, you know, P wanted me to do something inspirational. But then you're like, I just wanted to be on some, you know, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
I find that your music has always been inspirational.
Well, thank you.
You know, and that's an example of it. You know, when you even saying, oh, yeah, who do people want? I feel like you kind of like, tell me when you say who do people want, why'd you say that?
I mean, man, it's a lot to go with. I mean, for real, it was, man, it's about... And what we do, man, we make music that come from the heart to represent the people who we know in the struggle. However, we must wait on radio to tell us which one of our songs is a hit record. We must wait on people to, I guess, agree with us. And when we are the voice of the people, we the ones speaking to them. So ultimately, why don't you let the people decide who the people want?
Oh, yeah.
Hey. And nigga P said he wanted inspiration. Damn, P. I was really more on some fuck the world
man,
shit. So let's see.
Nigga, man.
I'm a man of respect. Man of the people. Stand at God. To man, I'm no equal. Man of respect. Man of the people.
I stand at the guard. To man, I'm no weak people. Ain't no breaking me down, bitch, I'm breaking the ranks. And ain't no holding me down, even if you holding the shanks. I'm controlling the town, nigga, think it's a game. Got the heart of a lion, I'm the strongest of tanks. Sitting on my throne and my crown, can't separate me from that. I'm king of all I survey, God say be patient for that. Man, all I got in my gangster, bet not go playing with that. Anything get taken from her, my fault, we taking it back. Bet we go taking some life, or we go taking a loss. Boy, I got fire in my eye, look at me see Gage go on. Watch how you come out your fate, nigga, better be saving your thought. Boy, all you got is a cake, I make the nation go on. A nigga who put fear in your heart, spare me. Take her out God for a nigga, check me. 100 piece of Q, what a nigga best be. Who you got your money on, bet me, let's see. Who the people want?
They might judge you, give you side eyes. They don't trust you, understand you. Call your trouble, I understand you. It's just a hustle, just keep staring it, let it bubble. You're my brother, I'm not above you. With me, I'm
man
so
of respect,
there.
Yeah, man of the people, yeah, stand up the gun. Not to man, I'm no equal. I stay silent with red, even if I'm standing with when you're requested to nap in my.
You know what I'm saying? That was, you know, that was. That was really my real clear intention. And also, you just have cats who kind of, man, you know, they allow themselves to get caught, like just real caught up in what they have and what they do, what they've done. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real, like, if you don't have the respect of people, then that means that you're only as good as the things around you, the things that you have, and the thing. Because one day that will be over, and then what will you have? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Who do people want? I'm a man of the people. At the end of the day, I feel like I can be put in a glorious position, but I'm going to be here because the people put me here.
I took it sort of like a double entendre, like a tongue in cheek, when you said who do people want? It's like, I'm giving them that thing that P want, and I'm giving them that thing that I am.
Right.
You know?
So. I mean, I was talking to P when I said it, but these were the things that I was talking about, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, that inspired, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. that actual record. Like, I think he had done left and went to the club or something. Well, not to the club. He had something he had to go do. I believe he went to a Pusha T show, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken, when we were in Miami recording that record. And you know, we should have recorded these conversations we had. Like, we had these long, elaborate, just introspective, just long, I'm talking about like 90-minute conversations.
Mm. You trying to be our competition in this podcast?
I wish we would have captured it. We didn't know. Like, we would just sit and debate on what angle, like whether it's the in your face, fuck you, you ain't gonna try me angle, or the I'm gonna rise above the drama and just continue to. Like, we challenge one another, and we both had valid points. I was just like, look, P, man, listen, you come from a different kind of, you know, the thing you do is different. So you can take that approach and it will be accepted and agreed upon. You know, everybody ain't able. Some of us have to get eyes a different way. You know what I mean? And I mean, like, we both right, you know, mm-hmm. but those conversations contributed to, you know, the music that you hear.
I want to ask you about a line. It wasn't clear to me. And oh yeah, you said I would never, it sounded like you said I would never be here with intellectual rapping.
Mm-mm.
What did you say?
Sucker, I'd never be get hit with intellectual weaponry.
Oh.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Yeah. A bitch I would never be. Don't try me like no bitch. You'd get hit with, like, real sophisticated weapons. You'd get hit with sophisticated artillery. Shit you ain't seen before. Mm. Like, that was basically what I was saying.
Okay.
It could have been my southern accent. When I hear what people think I said a lot of times, I'd be like, damn, where did he get that from? I'm talking like when you see people, you know, online, you can see when people like your records enough to where they write down the lyrics and post it.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, that ain't necessarily what I said. But cool, man. But cool. Go with it, though.
Kind of going backwards, and we jumped in a little bit into the middle of Paperwork. The first song, is it Title King? Because I don't think I have a complete listing with like all the features.
I'm not sure they're the final track names.
It's Title King. Yeah, it probably is. It's Title King, and it's considered the introduction.
Yeah, I felt like it was an introduction. It was like the beginning and the end all in one. I was like, this could have been
a lot of people thought Paperwork right should have been the first record and King should have been the last record. But I
think King could have been the only song on the
album. Only song.
Because it just started off so like, oh shit.
That was my angle.
Yeah.
But
just the sound of it musically and just the way you came, just I was like, wow. I don't know where it's gonna go after this, but I feel real good right here. It was a complete meal.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. My little bro, man, Mars from 1500 and then, he put the beat together. I gave him a record that was as it was explained to me, someone received a demo from a cat who sings in Ireland or Scotland. And his name is Gareth, something of that nature. And he has a song. And in this song, there was a section in the song that, you know, that's him singing.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, man, I heard this record. I thought of you. Do something with it. So I got it to Mars. And Mars, you know, after Mars freaked it, he got it back to me. I said, oh, yeah, this is it.
Do you feel that people still come at you? Because you came pretty hard on that song. I mean, you genuinely do, but it just seemed like this. I'm like, so many albums in, 13 years
mm-hmm.
in the music business, strong, you know, never you. Delivering anything that's like subpar. I'm like, I don't think T.I. should ever have to just set off a warning shot. So,
nah, man, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
What was you thinking about when you made that?
I mean, all shots or everyone who challenges you don't necessarily do it in plain sight. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have, you know, you may observe people, you know what I'm saying, in a very critical moment with adverse opinions about you when nobody asked them. You know what I'm saying? You may observe from afar people, you know, being jealous and really just spitefully negative when in your moment of glory, when it's your time to shine. You may take notice of people, man, really just attempting to covertly disrespect you and challenge your authority or manhood in whatever way possible. And when you see these things, it's not meant for you to see, but you see them and you know, okay, well, you must address these things. It's not, I can't just turn a blind eye.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't never been that guy. That's not me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I see it. I don't like it. If it's a violation, that shall be a demonstration.
And people respond to that because, like, everybody feels like that.
Sure, just everybody doesn't act on that feeling. Mm.
Yeah.
I just choose to act on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to do better. Every day I wake up, man, with a better sense in mind saying, hey, you know what? We're going to let something go today. You know what I mean? We're going to give somebody a pass today. You know what I'm saying? I wake up with that mentality. That's how I wake up. You know what I'm saying? And then life happens.
Life
and, you know,
unfolds in front of you, right?
Nah, I mean, it's sort of like, it just depends on if you really, like, catch me at a point in my day where things are going exceptionally well, you have a more, you know. But as the day happens and you have to carry more of a load every time, man, you know what? The buck stops here. You are in bad, but you in trouble, buddy.
Mm.
I just gave the last pass 5 minutes ago. Now it's us. Here we are. And you know what I'm saying? That's pretty much how it carries out.
Understood.
In terms of, like, I feel like that sort of relates to, like, the trajectory of your career and like, ways that you have been aggressive or not aggressive or have been presenting, like, a rehabilitated image or – but where I'm most specifically interested in is – your work with Andrew Young.
Okay.
And the documentary that you guys made, Walking with Guns. I spoke with somebody named Dr. Jocelyn Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And she told us that she thought that Andrew Young had a real big impact on you.
Man, Ambassador Young is the closest thing, I won't even say the closest. He's my mentor. You know what I mean? I mean, he has, I mean, in music, I can say, you know what I'm saying, that DJ Tune, Pharrell, KP. But I mean, like, as that's the closest thing to, like, a grandfather. A father. My father was his age. My grandfather's still alive. My grandfather, he taught me all the stuff that I needed to know to become the man of respect with principle and morals. Now, in order to articulate myself and to really poise myself as a distinguished gentleman, until, you know what I mean? That was brought to me by Andrew Young. You know what I'm saying? Like my granddaddy, fantastic man. I mean, he taught me everything I needed to know to make it to the point where Andy kind of, you know, picked up the baton. And I feel like, man, that's the person that I could see myself patterning my evolution after.
Really?
Yeah.
Leadership, political leadership in that way.
I don't know so much as I don't want to be like mayor. I don't want to, you know, I ain't trying to run for no office, but ultimately, even just as a community leader, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As a social example, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, more like SCLC type.
Yeah, you know, but with the, you know, moving in the right direction with an appropriate purpose, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, given the time where I knock all the dust off my shoulders and I curve out my, you know, the rough edges, the chip that I have on my shoulder. When I polish all my granite, you know what I'm saying? I make it to a point where this is, you know, now this is how I can actually present myself and be perceived.
Mm-hmm. How do you, like, reconcile those two parts of yourself?
How do I reconcile it?
Past and present.
The past was all necessary in order for me to make it to this point. I think that had I made the right decisions before, there would have been less adversity, less conditioning, less pressured examples that contributed to me learning faster. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I learned lessons. I had, like, when you the person who falls a lot, they're the best at whatever it is they do. If you're a skateboarder, you fall more first, then, well, you end up a better skater because of it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for me, man, I fell a lot. So I was the first to pop. I should be the first to pop a willy.
Okay. Does Ambassador Young listen to your music, like, now?
Yeah.
Does he, like?
Sure. I mean, man, Mr. Young, he listens. He listens to gospel as well as secular music. He doesn't live in a cave, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, he tells me what he cares for, you know. And yeah. Those of my movie tells me I need to stop playing villains in movies. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you should get you one of those good dramas. I say, yeah, man, I'm going to play you.
Oh, I'm
going to do your story. And you know what I'm saying? He tells me the things that he appreciates the most.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I really think that not enough people know that the connection.
Man, Ambassador Young is he's a magnificent human being, and I think that, you know, he, of course, not a lot of people know exactly of all, you know, his attributes and benefits to
help him
to the modern era.
Where we
to
are
the modern
today.
Era, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know what I'm saying? I'm just proud and grateful, humbled by him taking the time out, you know what I'm saying, to take wisdom to shed on light of me, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he did it in, like, one of my darkest moments back when I caught my case. Like, he really kind of, he took time to explain what was happening and why. You know, because, of course, it's easy to resent the situation.
Mm.
And it's easy to excuse your wrongdoing. It's easy. But for me to make it to a point that I was at when I was able to go speak to kids and accept, you know, hold myself accountable, like, that came from conversations with him. I was very bitter. You know what I'm saying? I was very, like, I was extremely dark. And, you know what I'm saying, Ambassador Young took the time to kind of explain, like, listen, this is, you got to understand. You know, and he gave me experiences and just insight that I could relate to. And it kind of, and I rationalized my circumstances at that point. And after I rationalized my circumstances, I was able to cope a little bit better.
Is it through that experience of, I take it, you know, I don't want to, I'll call it ups and downs just for the moment. and being surrounded by someone like that, is that sort of like motivation for a song like New, what is it called? New National Anthem?
Yeah.
In that song, you're painting, you're showing, you're highlighting similarities and differences of what I think is what America is calling is like acceptable.
Right.
And things that we get behind, we rally behind, and then these other aspects of life, we don't, you know, it's highly ridiculed, highly prosecuted.
Sure.
Kids selling drugs, highly ridiculed, highly prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
Politicians breaking laws, using their influence.
Not so highly ridiculed. Not so heavily prosecuted.
Yeah, so why do you think that it's that way in this?
Habit? Yeah. I mean, man, I think it's habit, man. I think at some point, somebody in power and influence over the state of this nation, at some point, they figured out that they could do the right thing and face hardships and pain and have adversity, or they could cut some corners and do it the easy way and have a similar outcome. They chose to cut some corners and do it the easy way. And that influence trickled down. And over time, it became habit. So people said, man, why waste time going through all this adversity to do it the right way when you could get more doing it the easy way? You just got to be willing to cut. Shh, don't tell nobody. You know what I mean? Over time, here we are. That's what I mean. Just put it in a nutshell. That's my opinion.
So why make the song? Why did you make the song?
I mean, I was inspired by the moments. You know what I mean? It seems like every year, sometimes twice a year, it's just moments that you feel like, man, this shit is fucked up and it ain't getting no better, man. And then even more so, it's just like more blatant displays of, I don't give a fuck about you. I don't care about you. You're here. Fine. But you run nothing. You will not threaten or intimidate us, and or there will be violation, demonstration. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I mean, shit. So I mean, you know, when you see that, when you face with that so much, of course you're gonna be motivated to, you know, artistic expression. That's how I speak. And then I think that, you know what I'm saying, if you can't really, really say it out loud, you can't rationalize it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, saying it out loud is just, you know, me coming to terms with something that I know I have to develop an understanding for. If I'm going to change it, I got to understand it.
Yeah. I think I can see your platform already. I mean, I know you're not trying to go for a platform,
but
whatever.
No.
Yeah.
If I do that, guess what? All this stuff gonna be pulled up on me. All of these statements. And it, so I mean, I already know, man. I have a very, very limited. My run is limited as far as what I can do.
No, don't say that. I don't believe that.
It should be gun control.
I don't. Yeah, Secretary of Defense. Let me.
All right.
I don't believe where you're going, only because I think that we're at a state in history where everyone's challenges and adversities are exposed, and
True.
It's not that we're more numb to it. It's just we're more real,
right?
You know, like we're at a state where there's not going to be any other president who's going to say, except if I was elected for president, let me just say,
okay,
that never smoked marijuana. You know what I'm saying? I've never smoked marijuana, 44 years of life. But I'm just saying we're at that stage where whatever it is that we feel may be the thing that not get a person elected or have people be like, hey, I'm not interested in them. Like the stage that we're in historically, there's not much you can really do to shock the nation into, you know,
that's a good point. Yeah.
Not into you're not being a viable leader, especially if you have on in the scales of balance weighted out with other things. It's like, oh, yeah, I could see, you know.
I think it will. I think even at its finest moment, it will relate to who can hide these things more and who will have the most available to the public. I have the most available to the public. So whoever I'm running against is going to say, yeah, check him out here. You know what I mean? And I'm cool with it. And my answer to that would simply be, I am not ashamed of my past, but I am very proud of my future.
Exactly. You know
what I'm saying? I would
like you've been practicing.
It just comes to me. It does.
Well, have you ever... So I wanted to ask you about, you know, you have said that sort of the blessing and the curse of the internet is that, like, people can just come out before they're ready and they can be judged before they're ready or not.
Right.
And so I wanted to ask you about what your sort of grooming, media training, waiting until you're ready, what that process was like. But also...
It's hard to put into words.
Okay.
It's a lot. That's a heavy... I mean, it's just a lot because it's things creatively in music and then it's things... In business, you know, because a lot of artists, especially new ones right now, they don't expect to work. They don't expect to have to do anything to contribute to the success of their project. They just want the red card. I got signed. What? Now what? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I think that just knowing that, like, talent should not be something that takes away the need for you to think you have to work hard. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I just try to make sure the cats can push themselves to be as dope as they possibly can be. You know, carry themselves like a reputable, upstanding human being and work hard.
When you were young, and you, like, what type of... Did you have any sort of understanding that, like, things, decisions that you made then would curtail possibilities in your future?
At the time?
Yeah.
Nah. Nobody young considers consequence. Nobody. You know what I mean? Nobody does. Until you've experienced enough of it to where you say, yo, my life got to get better than this.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. And at least now, you know what I'm saying? I know, yo... Man, I need to stay away from things that could contribute to this. It's just that I kind of, you know, the business that I'm in, it's a business that kind of puts me in the elements of, you know, certain risk factors. Therefore, I got to poise myself a certain way.
Yeah.
Simple as that. You put me in Hollywood. And you let me do movies all year, and I'm not, you know, really working on going to clubs, and I ain't got to promote no albums, and I ain't got to... Now, I mean, my element has changed. My environment has changed. I kick back, man. You know what I'm saying? This is not the element for aggression and hostility. You know what I'm saying? So I can hang my aggression and hostility on the dope. Pick it up when I need it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, but it's just right now my element, my environment, man, that it takes for me to really maximize the benefit of my material. I got to get out here and touch the people. I got to. And that process, it puts me in the line of fire when it comes to avoiding trouble.
Right.
But I understand I have to find ways to over time phase out of that because I ain't really... The consequence overwhelms the benefit at that point.
Right.
But it took me getting older to understand that.
Yeah, like everybody else. And to go back to Light 'Em Up, I mean, part of what makes that song so heavy is, I mean, are you thinking that that could have been you?
I mean, well, the only certain thing we have in life that we know when we're born is that we'll die.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean... It always could have been me. It could have been me a long time ago. When I made Live Your Life, it could have been me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was closer to being me then than, you know, with Doe. But there's something in me that, you know how, you know, they say women's clock is ticking. Like, I feel like my clock is ticking. The clock for you to get in trouble, man, is ticking. You know what I'm saying? You need to phase out of that fast. You know what I'm saying? And I recognize that. So I have, you know, now this is the part of my career where I begin to change my environment.
Yeah.
So then, is that if do you feel that way going into at least making this album? Like, you know, the clock is ticking and there has to be something different. I ask that because it sounds like for example, I don't know, you know, like this is a song, you know, like kind of like I don't think it's scripting out a future, but there poses a question.
Sure does.
You know? And, yeah. And so is that like one of the motivating factors, like clock is ticking?
Absolutely. I know for a fact. And see, when I make records, like I don't know, a lot of times people think that it's a script or detailed, elaborate explanation to a future action. Mm-mm. But really, I'm doing this. I'm going through the trouble of saying it out loud so I can hear the absurdities in it and I can, you know, I can help myself better. Mm. Hearing this me talking, like I'm talking to myself at some point saying, okay, now listen, does that sound rational? Okay, then. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, what you get out of it is a jamming ass song.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So, it's therapeutic.
It's therapeutic as well as, you know, you get added intangible benefits.
Yeah.
Shot value to hurt you.
What you think, nigga? This ain't that new. For real. I wonder what the money king, major, Messiah, Deja, Nene.
Yeah.
I.
Now I don't know what you've been told about me.
I don't know what you thought, but the real is.
But I don't take no shit from no nigga.
At all, nigga, no exception, homeboy.
And I wonder what my kids think about me.
I just think if I went
to jail.
If I had to,
cause I had to.
Would you love me,
a nigga?
I am hoping for the bed, trying to dodge the strain. But sometimes that just ain't the way that it go. Hey, if a nigga pull up on me, hit the light and it's a chop in sight. Fell in the night, bet I be letting that go. I gotta make it back home. Major need me to cut it, cartoons on. My baby Daisy catch a feeling about everything. She's sensitive and can't love money. I need to show her how to get it in. The money need me to tell him you want to rap or take a Siri then. Plaything I never been. All I did was get it in. Need a nigga to know what a real nigga is. Messiah need me to show her how I broke a deal. So imagine if I went and got killed. Get real, nigga. Hey, you know every day we out here in the field. Getting at how we live. Fuck a record deal. Put my money with your money. How we do it, get more money. But you know what I gotta do if someone try to take it from me now. Now.
Tell these niggas about it.
Now I don't know what you've been told about me.
I don't know what you thought, but the real is.
But I don't take no shit from no nigga.
At all, nigga, no exception, homeboy.
And I wonder what my kids will think about me.
Well, and thinking about, because Cedric even mentioned this, and thinking about, you know, Tupac and some of the things that Pac, you know, spoke about, you know, mm-hmm. that seemed prophetic, you know?
Right.
So just, you know, hearing you make that statement about...
I'm not... Sheesh. Pac was very... He was profound with his scripting of the future. I mean, Pac, I don't think I'll ever reach that level of it. I mean... I hope not to be so profound.
to that degree.
No, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's one thing I hope not to. But, I mean, at the end of the day, man, if that's God's plan for me, I'm a carry mine like a man, wherever it takes me,
right.
You know?
Well, I'm not saying it in that regard.
No,
I see.
No,
I see.
No,
I see a lot of light in the situation.
Right on.
Only because you're...
As you should.
Yeah, I do.
Thank you.
I do. And you're... For the kids that come from, you know, the economically challenged cities in New York or Atlanta or Chicago or Los Angeles, you know, you are them, you know, and they can look at you and hear someone like you and be a guide, you know, that beacon to just, you know, get them out of a situation or at least bring some clarity. To even hear you say, you know what, I'm talking to myself, like people are considered crazy who do that, but that's not insanity. That's clarity, you know, especially if you're in doing it with an intention of just saying, okay, let's see what happens after that. And I think people need to hear that, you know, so I see it as being you and your art as being light.
Right on. So, I appreciate that, man.
You know,
thank you.
Man, like,
and if any of this stuff can, you know, help, you know, some of those kids in those cities avoid, you know what I'm saying, their darkest hour, yeah, I mean, it was worth it, you know what I mean? So I appreciate that.
I mean, I like the way you round out, like this album is rounded out. You got your knowledge. Well, you got your, first of all, hold on. I'm setting it off like this in case any MC or anyone else forgot what it really is. You know, I like the way you set it off like that, but then there's balance. You know, you bring it back to a little, I don't know if it's necessarily political, even though it's called a new national anthem, but there's, right, you know, there's the political, the conversation of what we're dealing with. This is modern day social studies class right now. And then you got your songs for your ladies, and there's some extreme songs for the ladies. I have to.
Why are you looking at me, man, right now?
Wait.
I am appreciative of those songs. Man, I am not mad at those songs.
Well, no, that's why I'm looking at you.
I would like to excuse myself for one moment.
But no, I was just saying that I think the album, you know, you rounded it out really well. And
thank
the
you.
Song for the late. Yes, I was looking at you, Franny, because you always pick up, like, you seem to really like these type of songs.
What song was it?
My bad.
What song?
What is the name of the Chris Brown one?
Oh, this is a private show.
Private show.
You should like that song. It's made for her to like.
I know, sorry.
You should like it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Nah, man. I mean, man, my definite intention with that was to, and forgive me, but I'm from Atlanta, so I just kind of feel obligated to make at least one strip club record. You know what I'm saying? And that just made its way to being it.
Job and, well done.
Thank you. And Chris, man, he contributes in a way that I can't begin to describe the effect that Chris got on the that's probably why she liked the song so much.
That's not why I liked it.
Take it off, cheek, bend over, let me see it, let me see it, bend over, let me see it, take it off, cheek, bend over, let me see it, let me see it, let me see it.
Girl, take it off me, you know just what I want. It's always hard to leave this private show. Let me see it, see it, let me see it, take it off.
Usher well, man, yeah. You know what I'm saying? The record I did with Usher. Usher was, you know what I'm saying, a personal partner of mine, man. He, you know, he kind of, we went in and did like four or five different records. and, you know, kind of lended itself to, you know, the idea of doing a tour, doing a bigger project together, which we will explore later whenever the time is right.
Yes.
But he made a contribution that I can't, you know, begin to describe either, man. Dude, like, extremely poised, talented, and, you know what I'm saying? Like, I try to surround myself with cats who have the potential to be or have proved themselves to be superstars. Mm. I just feel like, you know, and the people who nobody else can deal with. You know what I'm saying? Like, the people who can't nobody else relate to, can't nobody else deal with them. I like those. I like those people because they're too honest for most ears. Mm. So I appreciate that in a person.
So which category does Young Thug fall into then?
Man, both of them, he's a superstar and he's probably one of the most difficult people that I've ever met. Mm. You know, or I mean, not for me, because for me, he my partner and we don't have no problems, never have. But I observe the way the way things kind of transpire. And he's a very, very difficult, meticulous, talented, just extremely creative individual.
Well, I hope that the channel between the two of you is open enough for him to receive, you know, receive anything that you tell him.
Anytime. It does. But you know, my growth took time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I can't expect somebody to get everything I got in a day. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely
so
not. Yeah.
Just make sure, you know, just pick up a little as, you know, as you go. Pick up a little as you go. And over time, man, it'll come together. But it's something that is there that you should not change. So, you know what I'm saying? Focus on that right now because that's what's certain. And then the rest of it, as you see the need to make adjustments, just be willing to make adjustments. And he ain't no fool, man.
Yeah, you could tell that.
No, we're big fans. We've been trying to get him to come up here. We would love to talk to him. We would go down to talk to him.
Yeah, man. I mean.
But I know, good luck is right.
Nah, man. I won't say that. Thug, man, once you meet him, and if he say he going to do it, he going to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I hope we, you know, it happens. You know, like early on, I think I shocked Franny when I was like, yo, I want to talk to Young Thug. She was like, what?
I was like, who stole Ali's phone?
Actually, this was like.
It was Stoner. It was right when Stoner hit.
Yeah, it was right when Stoner dropped. And I just, like, my boy, I was in L.A. and he just was playing it nonstop. And I was like, I was offended that I didn't even know what this was. And watching him, he goes hard. And I just was like, yo, who is it? He was like, yo, this Young Thug, you should know about this. So I was like, at first I thought it was a joke, and then I was like, nah, this dude passionate right here. Like, I want to talk to him. So, you know,
Thugger, man. Hopefully. Thugger thorough, man. Like, he probably one of the most creative cats of this, of the new generation, man. He has a chance to lead the charge. Mm. You know what I mean? He's the first person that I heard, I'll say, that made me not care about the fact that I don't understand what you're saying. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Usually, like new artists, like, I'm like, man, what is he? I don't want to hear this. I can't understand it. Right. You know what I'm saying? But Thugger, I saw skill in what he was, and I knew he was saying something. I just didn't understand it. You know what I mean? But as I began to listen to it, and I have a better sense of understanding, I have a better, you know what I mean?
We all have had to, like, acclimate our ears to him.
Right. But you know what? In my research, right, I remember we didn't understand everything Bone Thugs and Harmony was saying. We didn't know what they were saying.
True. It just felt so good.
We didn't understand everything. Who knows every word to a James Brown song?
I don't.
Oh, well, he made up words there. So.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I felt like, you know, at some point, man, you got to give credit what credit is due and stop really trying to force things into whatever box you feel is appropriate. And
all those people have crazy hooks, too. He's like, that's what it is with him.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, I think that he got an enormous amount of talent and potential. I can't wait to see what he does with it.
Dope. Just one more question for me, and I know you had a couple more. And
okay. Just one, but
we can't see the wrap up because it's really dark out there. If you even giving us the wrap it up, I can't see. G shit.
Yeah.
You start off by saying I'm a rich nigga like I don't know.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Why you set it off so hard like that?
I mean, because I feel like people expect me to act a certain way because I have certain things, because I, you know, I'm in a certain tax bracket. Mm. I feel like, man, look, I'm a man before I'm anything. So I'm going to stick to what I know, and that's being me.
Okay. Do you think that hip hop has gotten too soft? Is that where that song came from?
I mean, of course. I mean, I won't say soft in the sense of, I mean, like, it seems as though just as when N.W.A., Ice Cube, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, and Biggie and Pop became the who's who, gangster shit became fashionable. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, whether they were solidified or really liked this or not, they were emulating this lifestyle. And over time, every genre, every corporation, everybody goes through this. After things have been the same for over time for so long, there comes one person that goes against the charge. Mm-hmm. That goes the absolute opposite of what everyone else is doing, and they win. And slowly over time, that one person begins to encourage others, and then now people are going from emulating this to emulating that. Not to say the same people, but the people who were nerds who were acting like gangsters are now comfortable being nerds. Right. And the people who are gangsters now are like, no, let me emulate the nerds. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And so since everybody want to be sensitive, I feel like, man, listen, man, the way for me to be the one person that leads the charge back the other direction, it'd stick with the gangster shit. So that's why I made G-Shit.
Does the title have anything to do with Outkast gangster shit?
No. Absolutely nothing.
Foiled again.
Lag out. I'm a rich nigga, like I don't know. I could change if I wanna, but I won't though. Do it right, even when I'm on the wrong road. Real talk from the heart, what I'm known for. Skinny jeans, I don't do those. I'm the starter, subpar, all the shoot for. Fully automatic chopper, you just shoot though. Now I'm moving 5 mil when I shoot though. Audemars, Hublot, 1.5 on a 2 though. Old hustle. Praying I'ma chill, but I'm too cold. Long as I'm around, fuck, they need you for. Riding in the Chevy, tote three bricks. Okay. Since nobody wanna make G shit.
It's for the gangsters, and for the pimps and hoes. Is it in here? It's for the dope one, trapper selling halves and hoes.
Since nobody wanna make G shit. It's all G, man, you know what I'm saying?
Get
you got a solid
foundation, man.
And man, you know, I feel like I got the perfect partner on that, man, Young Jeezy. Mm-hmm. He kind of like is the epitome, you know what I mean? And he and I, we have conversations and intentions to do a project together in the near future. It's called Dope Boy Academy.
Is this part of, is that like part of this paperwork trilogy sprinkled in, or is it just something completely different?
He'll be a part of it, but that project is not a part of it. It will have its own testament to its material. Like I had three albums, real talk, already after Paperwork. Paperwork is the more introspective, musical kind of, you know what I mean? It's the Art Deco of three. The second one is The Return, which also has its own narrative, its own, and the theme of that is trap music. And the third is more of a, like, you know, life, love, liability. Like, it's a love story. A young man who finds himself, you know, he's an active, avid gangster, but he just finds himself, he has a soft spot for a woman. Usually they have people, involved with people he shouldn't be, you know, crossing. So that gets him in certain situations and inspires a certain type of music.
Are you going for films at this point? Like,
yeah. That's why it's called the motion picture, because, like, music is really supposed to be the soundtrack to our lives. Mm-hmm. So our lives is the movie, But most people like to see it visually rather than, you know, just hear it. So I just want to be the one to show it to them in different way. And also, you know, I have to look for diversity in my thespianism ain't coming from Broadway. You know what I'm saying? So I have to challenge myself and present my abilities and take my strengths, applying to my weaknesses.
It's just hearing you describe, you know, those next two projects, it sounds like it would be a great film, especially the last. Well, all of them, but especially the last one.
Thank you. The plan is to have each one, like this album, me and Chris Robinson, we working on. We are working right now on completing the script, getting the budgets in and casting and, you know, actually filming the first of the three short stories.
Oh.
Paperwork. It's, you know, the Marvel movie Ant-Man is kind of, you know, taking up a lot of that time because we would have been done with it and have it presented by the time that the album was released. But we had, you know, it's Ant-Man. So when we're able to find, you know, we just need about 2-3 weeks, knock it down. Each of them will have a 30-35 minute story that will make up at the end one complete project.
I hope you can drop them like boom, 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 and not, and like the label won't make you like wait.
Nah, the label ain't gonna make me do nothing. Nah, the label ain't gonna make me do nothing. But you talking about as far as how quick they are to be released? Mm-hmm. I think the success of one would dictate the release of the other. You know what
I'm
I mean?
Just saying, I think we are getting more impatient these days.
I mean, like, how about this? If Paperwork drops and there are 3 to 4 singles to be worked off of, mm-hmm. it's going to extend the time.
I know.
you know what I'm saying?
I know. It's just there. I feel like
the music is going to make you, even if you get like tired of waiting for something, if once you get a taste of it, it is all you hope it will be, then that will justify the wait.
Okay.
Yeah.
My O came from, I just realized or remembered, you're in a new distribution situation.
Yeah.
With Columbia.
Yeah.
How's it feel to completely fulfill a contract? I only say that because people hold over Tribe Called Quest head all the time. You guys got one more album. Ever since the documentary, it's like the director ended the film with that. So everyone knows we still owe the label one more record. It's just like.
Now, see, the thing is, though, that's only if you guys decide to make music.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm saying? They can't make you together. Submit.
Oh, of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's if you decide, when I decide to do some music, then they will get one.
So, you liking the new situation at Columbia?
Yeah, I love it, man. I love it. I feel like they take more risk than most record labels. I feel like they kind of, they side with the artist's request more times than other labels. You know, other labels will kind of take the position that the artist is here, the label is there. You know, sometimes we can have wants and wishes that intercede, but for the most time, we are in opposition of one another. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we are in support of one another, but privately and behind closed doors. You know, when it's come time to really have the discussions that carry on to the making, like, we want different things.
Yeah.
90% of the time. And here, I haven't seen that for real. I haven't. Like, I've seen, okay, you know what you're asking. You know it's a lot. You know it's, yes, I do. Okay, this is what you think you need. We're going to go and do it. And after doing it, you know what I'm saying, if you prove, or if the material justifies the risk, you know what I'm saying? If the risk turns itself into benefit, okay, well, that's one to your credit, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we'll, you know, move forward. That's the way I see working with Columbia versus my experience with a lot of other labels. But not to discredit any of my former partner, man. I have a huge amount of love, admiration, and respect for him. I just understand the different business models.
Yeah, different method.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as being a label owner yourself, does that, you know, what you've gone through as an artist help your situation with Iggy?
Sure. I mean, if you can't understand where someone's coming from, you have less of an ability to relate. You know, if you just are an incredibly understanding person, you know what I'm saying? Just, you know, you just find a way to kind of relate to everything, then that's, you know, it's ideal. However, most of us who have these afflictions, these, I mean, like, for real, I feel like my way is the best way. I just do, you know what I'm saying? And so my ability to really look at anyone else's perspective, man, is kind of like, man, why you don't think like me? Psh, sucks for you. You know what I'm saying? I just have that. I have that in me. But, you know, if I know what you're going through because I've been through it, then, you know, I can understand where you're coming from a little bit better. That gives me the best opportunity to relate to the Young Thugs and the Iggy's and the B.O.B.'s and, you know, even the Trader Truths. You know, it's so many. Boosie. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? So many cats that really labels don't know what to do with either because they haven't really, really figured out how to communicate with them. Mm-hmm. They are fearful to communicate with them, mm-hmm. or there's just a disconnect somewhere, lost in translation, something. But me, I have an ability too because I've experienced what most artists have experienced. So I can speak to them from a different perspective. Soon as every label realizes that and just come talk to me instead of trying to talk to the artists all the time, we'll be somewhere.
Could you tell us a little bit more about Dobie and how you came to know him and work with him? Just describe him for our audience.
Man, Dobie personally was a very, very quiet, like a reserved, laid back, confident, but quiet. You know what I mean? Like, you could tell he was confident, but he didn't talk a lot. He didn't. And I haven't seen a young man at 18, 19 come into such an overwhelming environment and remain unfazed. Mm. I've never seen Dobie excited, except when we talk about sports.
Okay.
Except when we talk about sports. The finals, when the Miami Heat came back and beat the Spurs. He was extremely, you know, or Alabama championship, Alabama games. You know what I'm saying? Like, Dobie was extremely excited and an avid sports fan, but for the most part, he'll sit in the room and wouldn't say nothing unless he really had something to say. But that, plus his work ethic, him not wanting to go to the club when everybody else like, all right, we finna go. We're going out to this party. We're going to ball. I'm going to finish another record. So he just like kind of had a work ethic that it was a certain maturity, you know what I'm saying? They usually don't come until your second, third, fourth album. So that kind of made me respect. And his skill set lyrically and ability to separate lyricism, because although he had extreme lyrical ability, he also made songs that were super duper simple and kind of like simplified his communication down to, man, nah, 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 nah. You know, be like that sometimes. Like, you know, you better know it. Just, you know, I mean, like, you better know it is a term that everybody uses, but, like, for real, like, I'm a young nigga getting money, better know it. Bankroll full of number 100, better know it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's very, very simple and sophisticated at the same time. So that, to me, showed his skill in a different, and his ability to kind of speak in great detail, the way when you heard Jeezy talking, if it take it too long to lock up, bring it back. You would shout anyway, bring a stack. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are specific details that come from a circumstance that you recognize if you've ever been in there before. And Dobie's ability to do that, he found a way to do that in a way we ain't heard probably since Jeezy. And, you know, the man, for real, man, it was his time. It was truly his time, and he was about to blow. He already had one hit record with me and Juicy J that was that was shooting up the charts, man, on his way to number one. Let me find out. Exactly. And yeah, and we had just finished the Hustle Gang mixtape. We were shooting video. We were shooting videos for his next mixtape. The Kim Wasabi record was just going. That was going to be the record that took him where he needed to be. And you know, we just, you know, man, we got our progress cut short. You know what I mean? But, you know, we still have an enormous catalog of stellar material that we will use to keep his legacy alive.
Top off on a foreign, ballin' like a Barbie, like a Barbie. Two bitches in a Barbies, one on lean and one on Molly's. Fit that hoes in the lobby. Chain gold and it's Versace. I'm like, whoa, chemo stop it. Big ballin' is my hobby. I blow the check and file it. I could have bought a rocket. Pull up in the big body. Valet had the double parking. I'm covered in Versace. I'm fresh print, these niggas cartoon. Flexing through the projects. Them bitches think I'm Illuminati. I started out with nothing. Jugging in a Taurus. Now I run this shit, you jogging. Well, my room, man, I forgot it. Top off on a foreign. Ballin' like a Barbie. Two bitches in a Barbies. One on lean and one on Molly's. Fit that hoes in the lobby. Chain gold and it's Versace. I'm like, whoa, chemo stop it. Big ballin' is my hobby. We started from the bottom. Now my condo high as Martin. My nigga said for
Well, I feel like we've taken a lot of your time. I appreciate it very much.
Sitting around waiting on the phone to ring. I really do appreciate you guys' your time, attention, and, you know, your contribution. Your contribution as well, because I'm sure you're not in here for nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Thank you, man.
You know, paperwork 1021, man. Hustle Gang over everything. Love.